and welcome back to my channel. Today we're chatting what I would do if I wanted to go plant-based in 2024. If you're new here, hi, my name is Cassie Amber and I'm a plant-based holistic nutritionist. I've been eating this way for probably 6.5 years now. And if you're not already following me on socials, I post more daily things with food inspo, recipes, and just little educational tips about navigating the online space when it comes to nutrition, I guess, because there's so much opposing information. I'm so excited to be back in your ears. I want to start a new little thing as well. If you take a screenshot of the podcast and share it to your story on Instagram and tag me, I will give you a free month access to my plant-based recipe app, which is my hub where I store all my favorite dishes that are easy, minimal ingredients, minimal cooking time, minimal dishes. That's what I pride myself on. So you can get a free month if you share it to your socials and tag me. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the channel for future updates as well. So my first tip is make direct protein swaps. A cauliflower steak is not a steak or a source of protein. A portobello mushroom on a burger is not a source of protein. Even the replacement egg that you can buy, just a powder, that you can make scrambled eggs or you can get a bacon version, that is not a direct source of protein. It's just a vegan replacer, but it's just made from powder. So those things are not direct swaps. Even jackfruit, if you have jackfruit tacos, it's a fruit, not a protein. So we actually have to be quite intentional with our meal times to hit our daily targets, especially if you've got physique goals and strength goals. To do the basic math to work out your requirements, basically you do 1.8 or up to 2.2 times your body weight. So for me, it would be like 2.2 times 55 kg or whatever. So then that will give you your average of like what you should be aiming for. Personally, I don't track food, even though I should have been this whole time, but I've managed to get this far without doing it. But if you want to kind of have some guidance, instead of tracking all your calories and the carb and fat ratio and all this complex stuff and weighing food, if you just at least track your protein target over anything else, that can still give you some idea of what you're eating, but in a relaxed way and more a positive way rather than a restriction way of showing you all the things you can't have or limiting portion sizes. It's more just making you think intentionally about like, oh, can I have chocolate for dessert, or should I make like a little chocolate protein mousse, or have some soy yogurt with dark chocolate chips just to boost that intake a little bit more. So many vegans put on the Facebook pages, they share their meals and they just take off the meat and then they just got like potato and salad. That is not a balanced meal that's going to keep you feeling full. I've had a client once tell me that she would come home from a workout and eat a cucumber. But a cucumber is not going to repair your muscles and fuel you for your day. So you want to be thinking about foods that will keep you going for hours. Number two is don't stress about small amounts if it's more damaging for your mental health than what it's worth. So I think a lot of the reason people fall off plant-based or vegan eating. So vegan is eliminating all animal products to the best of your ability, including food, clothing, makeup, self-care, hygiene products, like things that aren't tested on animals, leather, everything like that, like absolutely nothing. Whereas plant-based is more just focused on the diet side. And when I did my studies, the one I did was focused on the blue zones, which is the places around the world where people live to 100 years or older with the least amount of obesity, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So what they described it as is plant-based means animal products take up 10% or less of your diet. So I really liked this approach, and it's why I chose that course, because everyone is literally different. I can't say, here's the framework, you need to eat exactly like this to get this result, and give that to every single person, because we all absorb nutrients differently. Everyone has different mental health and like ways of doing their daily habits. So if their routine is too overwhelming, they're more likely to go for something less healthy if they can't actually keep up with it, and then fall off and then land in bad health or not have as good an outcome as the person next to them, let's say. So the way I kind of do it is be intuitive. If there's something that you're craving a lot, for me that is salmon right before my time of month comes, and it's been like that on clockwork, like the week before or a few days before, it just pops into my brain like I need salmon, and I just buy a 2-pack from the supermarket and I just have that. And then I think it's like got to do with the fats. I also heard that it could be the copper that my body is craving. So I just do that twice a month and boom, the craving goes away until the next month. It's like clockwork. And when I tried to cut it out, I went crazy in the supermarket, like I need 7. And like, it's just how my personal body works. So I've had people message me things like, oh, I've thought about introducing eggs again, but then I'll not be vegan anymore. And that's why I take my stance, even though it goes against the grain of everyone, even though I'm not saying like you need to be 100% vegan no matter what, we are all different and you know your body best no matter what anyone tells you. So whether it's like a craving for something you want to have a couple times a month, I also am more relaxed around small amounts of things. So say if I'm at the airport and I'm trying to get some food and there's like a veggie panini or something, but it's got butter on it, it's okay. I just have it if it's like smidgen of dairy, or a biscuit if it's got milk powder or something. Like, I'm not drinking milk or going out of my way to source it and put it in my home, but if it's just there in the food when I'm out and about, I don't stress about small amounts. And personally, I find that easier to stick to. Some people like to go all or nothing because they might find it hard to stay within the lines. Like if there's any source of freedom, they might go too far, if that makes sense. So it's completely up to the person, but just think of it like, as long as you're eating plants and eating well most of the time, that's what matters. Consistency is key. Tip number 3 is swap out one thing at a time and slowly go through and find your favorite brands. Like, there's no rush. You don't need to give up milk, meat, eggs, all dairy, cheese, everything overnight and like think that you'll have it perfectly figured out the next day or the next week. I just started off one thing at a time. So I actually gave up milk when I was 17, and I remember I had a cough for a whole entire year. Even through summer, I just always had mucus and phlegm in my throat. And then I stopped drinking milk first and then found what replacement I liked. And then when I was 21, I tried to go vegetarian, lasted a few weeks and didn't really know what to do, then gave up. And then that's when I watched the documentaries and then decided to give plant-based a go. And notice, the reason I stuck with this is because it cured my digestion so much. Like, I was having IBS and everything and it just fixed my life. So that's why I'm just such a huge believer in it, because I've seen the results myself. You just feel so light. You don't feel bogged down with your body trying to digest so much stuff all the time. And it just feels good in my soul when I look at my plate of food, because I do love animals as well. It just feels like I'm living in alignment. So figure out like what works for you. With eggs, personally, I still ate eggs for my own backyard chickens because I was there raising them. Like, I don't kill the chickens when they get to a certain age for food or anything. The last few houses I was at since I've been in Australia, I've always had backyard chickens up until this year. Yeah, in the last year, I guess. Other people have different values around that. Like, some people find that okay because they know that the chickens are happy and they are literally their friends, and they lay eggs anyway because they've been bred for that. And other people think like, oh no, you're still taking something from the animal, which you can then just feed it back to them for the nutrients as well, which I would still do with the shells. Sometimes I give the eggs to the dog. It makes their coat really nice. But if they're literally your friends and that it's laying them anyway, or you can give them away to people like your family or something as well. So the choice is totally up to you depending on your values. And swap out things one at a time. So when it comes to cheese, vegan cheese will never quite be the same. So dairy cheese has something called casomorphins, which is a type of protein, I believe. So it literally targets the same part of your brain as heroin. So when you eat it, your brain actually lights up and it's actually physically addictive. So cheese will never quite be the same, but there are some supermarket brands that a lot of them are coconut oil based or potato starch based with a bit of nutritional yeast in them, and they're okay. You can get some really nice gourmet ones from health stores. Like, you can get feta that they keep in the fridge that is like whipped and marinated and tastes really delicious and rich. So depends where you go, but just try one thing at a time until you kind of find what you like. Same as the different types of milk, like try almond milk, try a couple of different brands, try oat milk or soy milk. Soy milk is the only plant milk with the equivalent protein as cow's milk. So all the nut milks, say almond, coconut, cashew milk, they all don't have protein. but soy milk has 8 grams per serve, which is on par with dairy. So if you are cautious of your calories and maybe say you're on a calorie deficit, having the protein in the milk can actually make a big difference when it comes to making up your daily intake for the day. Soy is nothing to be stressed about. There's still this big stigma around like, oh, you better watch your soy intake. The soy milk was a threat to the dairy industry. So the dairy industry started putting out all these studies saying like, oh no, soy milk gives you man boobs and things like that. And everyone is so scared of it. So soy contains phytoestrogens, which mimic estrogen in the body, which have both estrogenic effects and anti-estrogenic effects. So there's still like, the data isn't exactly clear, but it's not like it causes man boobs or causes hormone imbalances. It like has both kind of effects, kind of like a balancing effect. And there have actually been studies done that shows that it helps protect against breast cancer. And especially in Japan, say where they eat lots of tofu and edamame and miso and things like that, they actually have the lowest rates of cancer. I'm literally getting goosebumps talking about this because I just forgot actually how passionate I am about all of it and breaking stigmas and things like that. But soy is nothing to be afraid of if you're having like soy milk in your coffee and some tofu with lunch or whatever, like a normal amount. It is actually healthy unless your medical practitioner has told you otherwise. But also remember, all the medical people have been taught the normal way of eating, so depends on what kind of practitioner and things like that, so keep that in mind. Tip number 4 is start trying out new ingredients. So maybe you want to try incorporating some quinoa into your meals. That can be made savory. That is actually a great source of protein as well. So it's like a grain that looks like a little seed, and you can boil it, you can cook it in stock for like a savory option and mix it through salads or have it as a side to your dinner. Or most people don't know, you can actually cook it as a sweet food. So say if you don't like oats or you want a gluten-free option, just something a little bit different, you can cook it, say, in some coconut milk and water, add some protein powder, some cacao powder, add some raspberries, and have it as like a sweet breakfast as well. Nutritional yeast is another one. It's basically like savory cheese flakes, and it also has a little bit of B12 in it as well, so that's great to sprinkle over food, add to soups, macaroni cheese, things like that, avocado toast. I add lots of seeds to my meals. Not that that's a plant-based thing, but it's just something I've always done in my cooking, whether it's pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. You can add hemp seeds for more crunch, or pine nuts are my favorite for bursting flavor. Cashews are really nice in curries and things like that. Just a small amount for like this extra bit of crunch and fattiness. Polenta is another one that's not often heard of, which you can make like polenta chips or a polenta mash. Millet is another one that people often have as a breakfast option. And TVP, which is textured vegetable protein. So it's basically like a soy protein that is like an alternative to mince if you don't want to buy mock meat. So you can get it on its own, or you can get it in little sachets that have all the flavors and herbs in it. You literally just add boiling water. It cooks itself in the bowl, not even in the pan or pot. And then add some probably crushed tomatoes for a bit of hydration. And then you've got a really healthy plant-based mince. And another one that's not often heard of is seitan. So that is a gluten-based protein. So that is made from vital wheat gluten, which is like a flour, and they mix it with water and some miso or herbs and things like that to give it like it's like chicken. So they turn it into a dough and you can pull it apart and you can like eat it like chicken shreds, or you can buy mock meat that's already made up like that as well. That is one of my favorite sources of protein. I don't eat a lot of gluten, but when it's mixed with lots of veggies and things like that, it's super high in protein. My favorite brand in Australia is Get Planted. So that's a 300 gram pack, and it says 3 serves per pack, but when I was cooking dinner for myself and my partner in my last relationship, I would just split it in half, so we'd have half each. And that was actually 30 grams protein for a half pack, which is like a third of my daily requirements pretty much. So really, really good for protein. Number 5 is choose minimally processed mock meat, such as the Get Planted one I just mentioned. The corn brand is another one of my favorites. The chicken pieces aren't vegan, they're just vegetarian because they do have some egg white, but they are based on mycoprotein, which is like a fungus. but I really like the texture of those. I never used to buy them because of the egg, because it's not actually vegan, but when supermarkets around you, the options are limited, it's still a good option for me personally, and it's just a smidgen in there, so I just buy it anyway now. And the SunFed brand, I've not seen that in any supermarkets around me for a while. I haven't seen the chicken for ages. It's popular in New Zealand, but I do buy the SunFed bacon, and that is the best one that you can buy. They add liquid hickory smoke, and it's high in protein, super minimal ingredients. So say when you take those brands and then you compare it to like an Impossible burger, I see all these things on the internet like, oh yeah, they compare meat and then they compare the Impossible burger or Beyond burger, and the Beyond one has all these ingredients, and then they say, oh, meat is just one ingredient. It's not. They put things in it to make it shelf stable. Most of it has antibiotics. Like, there's more to it than meets the eye. Meat is not just the only ingredient just because that's what they say on the pack. So it's not actually a fair argument to compare like meat to the most processed mock meat you can buy. The other ones, it would be meat compared to something with, say, the Get Planted one with Vital Wheat Gluten, a little bit of oil and some herbs. Like, it pretty much as natural as you can get. So there still are really amazing options for mock meat. It's something that can benefit a lot of people, even a lot of the sausages. You can get super processed ones, or you can get ones that are just tofu and herb based, and they're very natural, and it can just add variety to your meals. So you don't, like, some people just have beans and tofu and rice on repeat, but I don't really like that. And it can also be comforting for people, like say if you want to make nachos or lasagna and you just want to have like a veggie mince, and you can like recreate those meals rather than going backwards and going back to your old diet. So there are so many benefits to having mock meat. And I saw also in a Facebook group, this lady was kind of joking like, oh, we went to our friend's house and they ended up getting takeaways, and the friends were like, oh, you eat, don't know what store it was, because I think she was in America, but say it's like the equivalent of Hungry Jack's or Burger King. They've got a plant-based Whopper burger kind of thing, and the friends were like, oh, you eat that, don't you, because it's plant-based. And they're like, gosh, no, we are plant-based, we don't eat stuff like that. But just because you're plant-based, it doesn't mean you can never have an unhealthy meal. It's not meant for health. I still buy it every now and again, and you can feel how processed it is. Like, if I finish work late, there's no food at home, I'm like, oh, I'll just go get takeaways. And like, as you're eating it, you can feel like, oh, it's definitely very processed and oily and no fiber or anything. But like, there's a time and place. It doesn't mean you can never, ever, ever have anything bad. Tip number six is know your why and eat balanced. It can be easy, I guess, for people to fall off the bandwagon when maybe other people's opinions or comments get to them. And a lot of people, like so many people, try to go plant-based or vegan and then quit after a certain amount of time. I think it's got like the, I don't know, probably one of the highest quitting rates probably out of any diet, probably apart from keto, because you physically should not be doing that long term. But my motto is, you should be able to do your diet forever. So if that means not restricting 100%, then do what works for you. I often talk about this as well. Like, I've got friends who say they eat plant-based during the week and eat what they want in the weekend, or they eat vegan or plant-based at home, but if they dine out at a restaurant, they might get a little treat. So it doesn't mean they're a bad person. If that means they having this little thing here and there allows them to stick to it 90-95% of the time, it's better than just being like, oh no, it's too hard because I can't eat this one food, and then stopping it altogether. So everyone is different, find your balance. But when family might have different comments about it, or different friends or colleagues, or they might just genuinely be worried for you. So if you don't know your why, it could be easy to, yeah, let their comments get to you and change your mind about what you're doing. And eating balanced is important, because I think a big reason so many people have to quit is because they go to extremes. So they'll do like fruitarian diet. You don't need to eat just fruit to be healthy. I would be craving something savory after like two pieces of fruit, man. Like, you don't need to do that. There's forums online for vegan keto. You don't need to do keto vegan and cut all carbs because most of our protein sources are from carbs. So just going to those extremes is so unnecessary. You don't need to do all these big cleanses or like do only juice cleanses for however many weeks. Like I know there's different opinions on that, but it's not necessary to be healthy kind of thing. So if you're going to extremes, you may be struggling to get in enough food and enough nutrients and variety, which causes actual health issues. And that's why there is that stigma that you'll be pale and weak and fade away. The other thing I'll touch on is food sensitivities and intolerances. This is another reason I promote a 90-95% approach, or just whatever approach or balance works for you. So say if someone is, people have posted in the Facebook groups, they can't digest beans and legumes, they're allergic to soy, allergic to nuts and seeds and gluten. This is like what the diet is made up of. So there's honestly not much left protein wise. Like even peanut butter is a fat with a little bit of protein, so they can't have any nut butters, seeds. They can't have seitan for protein, tofu for protein, any soy products for protein. Like if you actually have that many intolerances, it may not be the best option. And the next best thing that I would suggest is, I still quite lean into the Mediterranean type style of eating. So having more fresh fish and a little bit of eggs, not necessarily heaps of dairy, like drinking milk and things like that, but people can enjoy little bits like a bit of cheese and stuff. Eating Mediterranean and plant-based kind of merge together in one. So I really like that approach as well. If you're trying to cut out too many foods, think about seriously where you're gonna get, like where you're gonna meet your needs. Tip number 7 is get 8 to 12 month checkups for prevention and just to monitor your health. The doctors, I've learned quite a lot about the medical system. I actually have a scanner that a lot of people don't believe in that either. It's like an energetic scanner, and I got it for my business when I was doing one-on-ones, and it was through an energetic healer in Sunshine Coast. So I'm actually going to do one in the new year. I just thought I just remembered that I haven't done one for a while, but that was so crazy to me because it scans your hand and reads everything in your body, and it's because it's not a blood test, it doesn't show you amounts. Like it doesn't say, oh, your iron is out by this exact amount. It just shows up with things like a traffic light system, like these things need attention. It shows your, honestly, like it blew my mind, it shows your emotions, because different emotions affect different organs in your body. It shows your level of grounding to the earth and your circadian rhythms, and also nutritional deficiencies, foods to eat more of and avoid, things like that. That was a full comprehensive thing of like mind, body, soul. And that's crazy, but not everyone has access to something like that. If you go to the doctor, they'll pretty much just check iron, B12, I'm pretty sure. And what about, this is why I don't get it, like what about every other nutrient? What about vitamin D? What about your other B vitamins that women are often low in? What about your thyroid health and iodine and things like that? Like there's so many things. Why are we only checking for two? So like try to get the most comprehensive scan you can, and then that kind of just gives you an idea on what supplements you need to update, just to make sure you're not taking things for no reason, or whether you need to get a new supplement just for a little bit of an extra boost. And yeah, it also like gives you ideas on maybe some ingredients to swap out. So say if something is low, maybe it's a reminder to like eat more colored foods or incorporate certain ingredients into your dinners more often. So just doing that as a preventative measure, no matter what diet you're on, I feel like that's important for everyone, especially in today's world with our modern stresses. Our food isn't as nutritionally dense. We're on the go all the time. We're stressed out. We're just not getting the same replenishment as our ancestors and elders would have from their food. So I think that's just important no matter what. So set a reminder, whether it's New Year's every year, your birthday every year, something like that. So each time it comes around, you get reminded to do a full health checkup. And tip number 8 is find your go-to recipes. So you want things that you can throw together without much thought. If you're coming home from work and you're too tired, you're like, oh, I don't know what to cook, and I need to put food on the table for the family or myself or finish my meal prep. And we can often get, I find I get myself decision fatigue when you've been trying to make decisions all day and do things at work, and then your schedule is crazy, then the last thing you want to think about is cooking. So have your little list of go-to meals that require not much thought or effort. My plant-powered app is where I store a lot of my favorite food. So I've got so many different things in there, like vegan butter chicken, different goddess bowls, soups, salads. I've split it up into different categories. There's a whole folder just full of breakfast, another folder of smoothies, sweets and desserts, which are things that are like more, I guess, macro balanced. So things I make with protein powder and things that actually feel a bit more wholesome as well. I just wanted a place, even for myself, just to store my favorite meals, because yeah, I might make something that's amazing and then forget about it and never get to make it again. So I thought, well, why not be able to share that with other people as well? I don't prescribe meal plans or calorie or macro targets. I don't get any of my clients to weigh their food or anything like that. So just having this hub where I leave it up to you to be intuitive, and you can choose a couple recipes for the week, two dinners and a breakfast or a sweet treat, and then make your grocery list based off that. So that's only a monthly subscription. And there's a little community tab in there as well where you can chat and ask questions and get support. And there's new recipes being uploaded to that regularly as well. So I'll put that in the description below. Don't forget to check it out. And remember, if you screenshot this episode, don't forget to add it to your Instagram story, and then I'll give you a free month of access as well. If you're already a member of the app, I'll just add a credit to your account. So I'm so excited to get this part on a roll. That's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with future episodes. I'm so excited to be back in your ear, and I'm wishing you an incredible 2024 where we all reach our goals, reach new levels, and just create the life that we envision and deserve. Thank you. See you next time.